Well, it's a beautiful image that we receive from the prophet in our first reading. God speaks his dynamic word, and it's like snow or rain that waters and fertilizes and is germinative. But here, Jesus gives his reproof in the gospel, which should jar us out of our complacency. That is, that God's word may have no effect upon us if our hearts have become numb, if our ears have become heavy of hearing, if our eyes are closed. Then that beautiful, watering, dynamic word of God will have no effect upon us. And if that happens, then we become spiritually arid and dry like the desert. Jesus gives five reasons for this unhappy spiritual state in his explanation of the gospel parable. Five things which can prevent us from receiving that nourishing, life-giving word of God which has the power to save us. He says, let those who have ears hear this. The first of these is indifference. We hear God's word, but quite frankly, we're really just not interested. And then as Jesus says, the devil comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. In other words, Jesus gives us the saving grace of his revelation, but we just don't care. Or we resist it. And when that happens, we become spiritually arid and dry. Now, this state of spiritual acedia is caused, I think, by any one of the other four reasons that Jesus gives for his word not taking root in us. And one of these is tribulation. Something tragic happens in our life, a personal illness, or the death of a loved one, especially if it's an untimely death. See, we seem to naturally think that suffering is something that happens to other people and not to us. But when it touches our personal life, all of a sudden we get angry at God. And that anger can distance us from God and the help of his word. As St. Paul alludes to in our first reading, suffering is inevitable on our earthly pilgrimage. It is inevitable. And the great irony is that if we get angry at God for it, it is precisely God's Spirit that will help us to cope with the inevitable suffering of life and to get through it. So we cannot let tribulation numb our hearts to God's saving word in our life. Another cause Jesus points to for this spiritual aridity is persecution. And I would translate that for us as how the fear of looking or being different, if we really follow Jesus, can prevent us from receiving his word. In other words, we might say, well, sure, I'll go to Mass every Sunday, but I'm going to put up my defenses because if God's word really touches me, it might change me. And then I'm really afraid that I will look different out there. I'm so afraid that someone might accuse me of being a religious fanatic, even though I'm not terribly worried at all about being perceived as a secular fanatic. Funny thing. You see, this fear of possible persecution for being a believer in this secular world can cause us to fall away from Jesus, even if we maintain our weekly Sunday obligation. That is when Mass becomes arid and dry. Another reason that Jesus points to for our hearts growing heavy of hearing his word are the cares of the world. Undue anxiety about these basically manifest a poverty of faith. We live our lives as if everything depends upon our own efforts, and thus we live as practical atheists, denying the existence of a personal and providential God who is our Father and who cares for us and for our needs. And when we're in that place, Jesus' liberating word cannot take root. And finally, Jesus points to delight in riches as something that can choke his word in our life. This is a frequent warning of Jesus in the body of his teachings. Frequently he talks about this. And it's a particular spiritual problem for us first world Christians. Riches can gag a throbbing spiritual life. Jobs, houses, swimming pools, boats, stock markets, skis, clothing, cars, smartphones can abort the growth of the kingdom in our lives. They can divert us from the work of the kingdom and squelch the harvest. So all of these, delight in riches, the cares of the world, fear of persecution, tribulation, all of these can bring us to that deadly state of spiritual indifference where we become prey to the evil one. But if we have pure hearts, if we have hearts of faith, then Jesus' word can grow in us and we bear fruit. How do we know if we have that good soil in which God's word can take root, in which there can be good fruit? How do we know if that's happening in our lives? Well, the apostle gives us a checklist to evaluate that by telling us what the fruit of the Spirit is when God's word germinates in us. And he speaks about that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The good fruit we bear, if we have good soil, that fruit that is born 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold, that good fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we are not bearing fruit in these things, it is the canary in the coal mine that tells us that we do not have the soil for God's word to take root because of all those other things: desire, delight in riches, the cares of the world, tribulation, fear of persecution, indifference. May Jesus Christ be praised for revealing his saving word to us.